The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast. John Anik and Kenny Florian.
I fucking love them. I can't get enough of them.
Let's hear that Boston next.
Big jab there from Duffy and Brett Mears. Hurt now. Down goes Duffy out cold. Frank Mears does it again. Rock'em sock'em robots here. Oh my goodness.
Hyperbole.
They're a couple of absolutely self-involved bullshit artists.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Oh, good to be back with you. Monday, August 26th, 2019. It's episode 214 of the Anik and Florian podcast. Oh, do we have to get Ken Flo back on video, especially now that he's keeping the lettuce nice and tight. I mean, it's amazing how long you were keeping that shit for some time, huh?
I know. Well, listen, I didn't have to be on television at all, right? I just let the hair go all over the place. Now I'm keeping it tight for a different reason. I look a little younger now, John, with the shorter hair. So that's my goal now.
So these jujitsu commentary gigs that keep popping up. By the way, we could do a whole lot better job promoting these things on the Anik and Florian podcast. Shout out to Kasai Grappling, I think it is.
Yes, thank you, my man.
So we don't have that much to get to today, which is kind of exciting. It doesn't mean I didn't prep 5 hours for the podcast because I know no other way.
Yes.
But, excuse me, when we have a dark week proceeding as we just did, we can really talk about whatever we want to. So I started the day watching some videos on Dustin Poirier and Khabib Nurmagomedov, and we're going to get into UFC 242. And then I stumbled across pieces of Conor McGregor's ESPN interview over the weekend in which he addressed any number of different things. That nice left hand he landed on that guy in the bar. No, I'm just kidding.
Can we break down the left hand? The guy had his hands down, dude. I mean,
right?
Come on.
Yeah. Didn't press charges, you know. He probably thought it was a good shot and wanted to acknowledge it. No, of course not. We're not making light of that at all. But in the nature of time, because Longo is coming up here in about 7 minutes, and he rejected our offer to be pushed back 5 minutes because of some school commutes and other things getting our way this morning. So Conor McGregor, among any number of different things, talked about who he would like to fight next. And I think a lot of us kind of were hopeful that there would be an appearance here for Conor McGregor in 2019. I think the sport, and in particular the individuals on his radar, have so much momentum right now that I think he wants back in the worst way. So he basically dropped 9 names, and I had Ken Flo very quickly this morning put them in order. So the 9 names he dropped, and I will give them to you in the order in which Ken Flo would like to see these fights: Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson. Oh, this is just one after the next. Khabib Nurmagomedov, Max Holloway, Nate Diaz, Dustin Poirier, Jorge Masvidal, Jose Aldo, and Frankie Edgar. So Ken Flo has Jose Aldo number 8. For me, I think if I had to choose the next opponent for Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo might be my number one choice, right? Any number of different ways you could go with this conversation, but those were the 9 names on the tip of his tongue. I want to start quickly with Frankie Edgar, and then we'll work our way towards some of these, because Frankie obviously has responded in kind. Part of the reason why this fight has legs is because it was rumored in the past. Frankie acknowledged Conor as a legend, said he wants to fight Conor so that he can tell his grandkids he did. That resonated with Conor McGregor at the time. All of that being said, I think there are a lot of lightweight matchups and true 155-pound matchups, even the Jose Aldo rematch, that I think are more likely at this point in time. But for you, Justin Gaethje was a clear number one. Why Gaethje next for McGregor in your mind is the most appetizing?
Well, listen, we heard rumors that it was going to be put together at one point. I think it's a fascinating fight because of Gaethje's complete crazy game plans to just move forward and throw down. He has tremendous power. He's a guy that's not going to be afraid to trade with anybody, including Conor McGregor. He's going to move forward. He's always delivering exciting fights. He's a guy you can rely on, like my number two right guy, Tony Ferguson, that you know is going to bring the fight to his opponent and do exactly what he says he's going to do. And I also think he's got a great chance of winning that fight just based on his power and his pressure.
And part of the reason we bring this up today is because September 7th is going to be here very quickly. You know, I got one leg out the door to Abu Dhabi right now, and that's sort of the last shoe to drop in a lot of respects. Certainly a week later, you do have Justin Gaethje fighting Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Mm-hmm. But I think the Khabib result against Dustin Poirier is really what's going to give and provide a lot of clarity when it comes to Conor McGregor's next opponent. Ferguson certainly has legs. Obviously, he's without an opponent, and you got to think unless Tony is fighting for the Undisputed Championship, that Conor McGregor would be the only fight that he would expect, or that he would accept, I should say, and that's just speculation, not even informed speculation. Khabib, you have number three. Max Holloway is there lurking at number four. Not sure how likely that is, given the fact that at featherweight there is such a clear number one contender in Alexander Volkanovski that I think there's probably a promotional appetite to move with that fight. Dustin Poirier, of course, in a rematch scenario would be there for you at number six. Jorge Masvidal maybe fights Nate Diaz, but a name that was invoked by Conor McGregor. And then Jose Aldo. So, like, why would that not be number one for people, right? And I guess from an Aldo slanted standpoint, right, from a King of Rio standpoint, their first fight lasted 13 seconds. As we've talked about in the past, you know, Max Holloway is given more credit for what he did to Jose Aldo than Conor McGregor is given credit. I'm not sure that's fair or not, but I think for McGregor, there would be some more closure he would get from beating Jose Aldo over a few minutes at least as opposed to a few seconds. And certainly for Aldo, where do I sign? So for me, if there was ever a time to make that fight, given the way the deck is sort of aligned, I'd be moving in that direction. But I'm not a promotion, man. I'm just a soldier.
Hey, and listen, I think it's a fight that it could potentially be realistic, especially if they agreed to fight at 155 pounds, for example. I don't think Jose Aldo would be opposed to that. And I think you're right. Well, listen, we never saw that first fight in a lot of aspects. McGregor absolutely caught him. I don't believe in lucky shots, but we only saw 13 seconds of that fight. And I think we saw so much potential in two very skilled fighters in their prime. And it just wasn't meant to be. We didn't even get, you know, two rounds out of those guys. It was only 13 seconds. So I think it's a fascinating fight for a lot of people who like seeing high-level technical stuff. Why I have that so low as far as Jose Aldo is because, you know, Jose has lost a couple times now. I think he's lost a little bit of that same luster that he had back in the day when they could have done the rematch. So that's why I had it a little bit lower. And you just have so many big names on this list. Yeah, that's why I have him at eight.
Yeah, no, and I understand that, right? And it's amazing how it flips on a dime for Jose Aldo. He had all that momentum after the Moicano fight and back-to-back wins, the Jeremy Stephens win, and then all of a sudden the loss to Volkanovski, I guess maybe would mute your excitement a little bit for that fight. And maybe it would do the same for Conor, right? I think the dream scenario obviously is going to be if he could somehow rematch Khabib here in short order. But we'll see what happens. But send us your thoughts at Anik Florian Pod. I thought I had pushed out a poll question this morning, but it didn't submit. But curious to get your thoughts on who you think will be next for Conor McGregor. And in a dream sequence, who do you think you would like to see him fight next? Of course, the big one is Poirier and Khabib Nurmagomedov. And before we get to Ray Longo, just one thought on that fight. And obviously, you're going to get a much more comprehensive preview and predictions from us in 1 week's time. But Dustin Poirier is the furthest thing from intimidated going in there against Khabib. He has long said that Khabib is the toughest matchup for him in this division. Not that he considers him a specialist per se, but because of his ability to dominate with that singular part of his skill set that he represents the stiffest challenge for him. But Dustin is in the hurt business. Obviously, that's been a sort of rallying cry for him, Kenny. He feels like when he hits these men, all of these former champions, they do crumble and go down to whatever degree. As we sit here a couple weeks out, I think now less than, how competitive a fight is this? And your thoughts on this from the Poirier side of things?
Well, listen, as far as Poirier, I think he's finally becoming that guy that everybody's been talking about in training over at American Top Team. This is a guy who was destroying everyone up to like 170 pounds, saying, where is this Dustin Poirier on fight night? He's finally fulfilling that potential now in his fights as far as showing up to fight, being that mature guy, that veteran fighter who is acting like it, who's going out there leading the that's and just destroying his competition. So I think he's matured a lot. He has a lot of confidence moving forward. Even when he said that mention of Khabib Nurmagomedov being the toughest fight out there for him, I think he said that maybe three fights ago or something like that. I don't know if he's giving Khabib that same kind of respect this time around. I think he has gained a lot of confidence. However, it is still a very tough matchup for Dustin Poirier. Poirier on the feet, there's no doubt about it. He's the superior striker to Khabib Nurmagomedov. I think with that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, that's going to help him. But he's not necessarily known as this high-level submission guy who can submit you off of your back. And I think if you are going to beat someone like Khabib Nurmagomedov, you have to be extremely effective off your back, not only with submissions, but perhaps just creating space, getting back to your feet, looking for a quick reversal off those takedowns. If you're able to do that, you're able to frustrate Khabib, get him to fight on the feet a little bit longer where you have more of an opportunity to take him out. If Dustin wins that fight against Khabib, it's going to be on the feet. It's not going to, I don't see it happening on the ground.
It's just interesting, and you bring up a lot of salient points, but for Dustin Poirier, right, this is the fight that you've long been thinking about when maybe you haven't had an opponent, right? Mm-hmm. The prevailing thought for a lot of these lightweights for a couple years has really been, eventually when I get to the top of the division, that's the fucking bear that I'm going to have to get through. And I think there's some, as someone who's fought for the belt three times, Kenny, you can attest to this, fighting BJ Penn and Jose Aldo. I think there's some upside and some benefit in that, right? That forever Khabib has been on the radar of Dustin Poirier, and I'm not sure reciprocally the extent to which Poirier has long been on the radar of Khabib Nurmagomedov.
You make a great point. The smart fighter is the guy who's always looking at the top of the mountain in a lot of ways, preparing for that, for ultimately that huge fight. And I think the more you see Khabib Nurmagomedov, the more you can kind of see certain weaknesses. Now, I'm not sure we've seen a lot of them, but you do get the opportunity to adjust game plans, see what works, see what doesn't work. And that's what makes it so difficult to defend the belt time and time again, which is so crazy when you look at a guy like Anderson Silva or George St. Pierre, who defended that belt time and time again. All these fighters are looking for ways to try to beat him. And some things work, some things don't. So that's more information for people on the outside looking in. Yeah. Still with Khabib, you know exactly what he's going to do. And no one has found a way to stop that as of right now.
Yeah, I love that. That's a title defense records for me. That's where it's at, right?
Yeah.
Because you're always getting everyone's best and getting that number one contender type who has been having a target on you for years. Quick tweet here from one of our listeners, Scott Spratling. I've never bet on a sporting event in my life other than casually amongst friends. I'm so confident in Dustin Poirier winning in a few weeks. Hmm. I'd like to make my first official bet. Scott, unfortunately, I'm not a bookie. He says, you're the guru, so I'd like to know the odds and the best way to place a bet. So I reached out to Scott privately. I don't have an active book. I can't take your action as much as I would love to be that guy. But there's certainly ways that you can do that. And I think Poirier is like a plus 300 underdog right now. So much more from Ken Flo and me next week in terms of that fight. But a little taste this week. And we'll see if Dustin Poirier can shock the world here in a couple weeks in Abu Dhabi. But it is now time for the award-winning Ray Longo Minute.
It's now time for the Ray Longo Minute.
I want you to punch a hole in this fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo Minute.
Starring Ray Longo.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
Hey, hello.
Oh, there he is. Ray Longo. Playing hooky today.
Playing hooky. Going in late today. Where do we start, guys? What are we doing? I'm training Ally Quinta last night, and after the session, he goes, we're moving on up. He got an Airbnb for the Australia fight. I mean, these guys are killing it. Now, Kenny, I don't know. That could be a bad thing. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm glad to see these guys are really maturing and they're having a great time.
Well,
the bottom line.
Do you think he's going to throw a party, a house party over there? Is that why you think it's a bad thing or what?
No, I think because the fact that I got to get up and piss 26 times a night, I could be waking people up when they should be sleeping. I need to be locked away in like solo, so
just
I don't disturb anybody.
Listen, just lock that door, whatever you do, please.
So
this could be a disaster.
So why don't you just use his hotel room at the host hotel and just politely decline the invitation?
John,
I'll take your room. I would love to go hang out with those guys.
Let me tell you something. I like where your head's at. I'm going to work on that.
you know, swap places. You want my room? Maybe I'll go crash the Airbnb. I'm not sure that's great for Dan Hooker, right? You got the play-by-play guy shacking up with Ally equipment. So
yeah, that's all we need. That would be hysterical.
So speaking of impartiality, I saw the UFC trotting Chris Weidman in Boston, Massachusetts, I think at Fenway Park, as if Red Sox fans, you know, give a shit about this New Yorker. I mean, I can't even take this anymore. I can't even take it.
This is really a thorn in your side, I could see.
I'm just joking. No, I mean, it was cool to see at least Calvin Kattar make the rounds there promoting this show, TD Garden, coming up on October 18th. You know, I was talking to Ray before the show, and I was saying that Mark Henry is actually really public enemy number one because he's trying to take Zabit into TD Garden and beat the Boston kid, Calvin Kattar, who is our best hope for championship glory in the UFC right now, is Boston, Massachusetts guys. So I don't know, Mark Henry and I, maybe a little friendly side wager between me and Mark Henry. But
I want you Bostonians to direct all your anger at Mark Henry and leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm a big Red Sox fan. How many times can I say, do you know that Joe DiMaggio's brother played for Boston? Does anybody know his name?
We go
nobody,
down.
Right?
Yeah, Dom.
Dom DiMaggio. Dom, look it up. Dom DiMaggio was Joe's brother, played for Boston. I'm a big Boston fan.
Listen, you're
call
not going to surprise Anik with any
your,
sports information.
Call your Strimskys. Yeah, call your Strimskys from Long Island.
Wow. There you go. My dad is from Seaford, New York. You know, I mean,
who's that?
Grew up
who's
a Mets
from,
fan.
From
my
Seaford?
Father, my dad went to Seaford High
wow.
School.
Wow.
Can you believe
I,
that?
Really?
I got New York roots.
No, I don't.
Fuck.
You never told me that. how old's your dad?
He was born in 1951.
Wow. So he's got a, that's it. How long did he stay after Seaford High School? Did he stay on Long Island?
Well, that's the thing. Therein lies the rub. He went to Northeastern University in Boston and, you know,
and that was
from Fenway Park, and then he stayed in Boston for 20 years. So he became a Red Sox fan, which I think is crazy growing up a Mets fan. I actually lost respect for him years later when I learned that he grew up a Mets fan and then started rooting for the Red Sox. You wouldn't catch me dead rooting for the Mets.
And he wasn't a Yankees fan.
Certainly not. Certainly not.
Wow.
If he
crazy.
Was a Yankees fan, he probably would have raised us that way and that, or tried to in Boston, and that would not have gone over well. But no, my mom's side of the family, not that the listeners care about this, but my mom's side of the family, diehard Boston sports fans, season ticket holders for everything 60s, 70s, 80s. So that's really where I get it. But
wow.
On a mixed martial arts front,
yeah.
Right? Ally Aquinta, yes. I hate to read too much into social media. All these athletes like Ken Flo look beautiful with their shirts off, sweating on social media, okay? But Al looks like he's ready to go right now, and he got 6 weeks out. I mean, he looks like he is real. I know he eats clean. He's always pretty low in terms of the weight, but he looks great.
You know, it's funny. I just saw the picture on Instagram, and I agree with you, man. He looks really good. Although Aljo's a little bloated right now, so I don't know if that's adding to it. But I told him the other day when he came in, I go, "Dude, you look phenomenal, like just physically." So, you know, he trains hard. He had a great sparring last night. He's been working hard. So, you know, that stuff all translates into a nice body.
So Dan Hooker is the opponent. I mean, you do any special catering for the size and the length, or no?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we had a 6'1", undefeated amateur who's really good. He's making his pro debut. I mean, one of many guys, but yeah, he's 6'1", very long, fights long. So yeah, we'll bring in a couple other guys for that. But yeah, definitely, we think about it. And, you know, I think even Cerrone did give him a little problems with the distance, so we've been working that. So definitely know it and addressing it, and he's looking good so far.
So stadium show in Melbourne, Ken Flo can attest that these are not the type of fans to boo. They're very sportsmanlike, yeah. Albeit very passionate. But is the dream scenario for Ally Aquinta that he beats Dan Hooker essentially in Hooker's backyard, even though I know he's a Kiwi, but he beats Dan Hooker on the road, and then he can rehash the whole Masvidal speech if they boo him and say, you know, you guys booing me, fuck you, right? I mean, this is a true road game, and the first, I think, of its kind for Al. I mean, he did fight, obviously, Cerrone, who's a huge fan favorite, but I don't know. Al normally would have the crowd. He's not going to have the crowd, I wouldn't think.
Are you still shell-shocked from that interview? Tell me the truth.
Oh, I'm just so glad to be a part of it. Just so glad to be included.
And I remember that like it was yesterday. I felt so bad.
Thank you.
I think he's. I don't know. I don't think he's getting booed in Australia.
He
loves Australia. He spent a lot of time down there before. I got to tell you. I mean, I think if he had a place to move, that would be on his list. So I think he's. I don't know. I'm feeling the love. I love the Australian fans, and they always. I've been there twice, and I've had nothing but a great experience, so I don't expect anything different. And again, the other guy is from New Zealand. I don't know if that makes a difference, but I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
I don't
know.
I think he's going to feel the love. Yeah, I think
yeah,
I don't
he's
think
a
Al's
fan
that
favorite.
Guy. I think, yeah, I think so. We'll see, though.
No, I think he's one of the most – popular 20 or 25 or so guys on the entire roster in any division, man or woman. So we'll see how it goes for him. Yeah, Hooker, I think we'll have some crowd, but you're right. There'll be a lot of positivity for Team Sarah Longo down there in Melbourne, Australia. All right, before we let you go, you are two fights above 500. The main event is this Saturday morning on ESPN Plus for the UFC Strawweight Championship. I know you will not be awake at this time unless you're pulling an all-nighter. It is Jessica Andrade as the minus 165 betting favorite against the plus 140 underdog Zhang Wei Li, who has won 19 consecutive fights. Who do you like, Ray?
Wait, before we even get into that, first off, you know, I don't even know if we mentioned this. We have Mizuki fighting on that card out of the gym.
Oh!
She got her, yeah, so she moved up to 125. And if I wasn't going to Australia, I would have went probably there, but I think the two trips would have killed me. So
liar.
I sent somebody else in a corner. But, you know, just a shout out to Mizuki. She's a great kid, and I think she's going to have a great fight that night. But on the Andrade fight, I'm going with Andrade. I think she's on a roll, and I think that chaotic forwardness and aggressiveness is going to be too much.
I think the fight could be an absolute classic. We'll get Ken Flo's pick on the other side. All right, buddy. We appreciate you carving out some time. So what time does the alarm clock go off, or do you just sort of wake up when you goddamn well feel like it?
Oh, I wake up when I goddamn well feel like it, John. That's the way it goes down over here. No alarm clock. No. What's the word? No alarm clock needed.
So yeah, that's living life right there.
That's living life, man. Yep. Come on, Kenny.
Ray's world.
This is what
Come
we
on.
Built up for.
Ray's world.
This is what I built up for.
Ray's world, dog. I like it.
Ray's world. So when I text you at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, is that waking you or your phone is not next to your face?
Oh, no, it's not waking me. No, it's the phone's close. The phone's close to my face, but that's not enough to get me up at that time.
All right.
8:30. Are you kidding me? Who wakes up at 8:30?
Yeah.
What kind of people are you?
Hey, have a great week. We will talk to you next Monday, obviously, and get ready for a big one in Abu Dhabi. Thank you for your time, as always, sir.
Yeah, I'm psyched for that, man. I'll talk to you next week. Take it easy, guys.
All right,
there he is, Raymond Peter Longo, every week here on the Anik and Florian podcast. And as many of you know, it is a new football season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is with the Jets. Odell Beckham is in the land. But the one thing that hasn't changed, where I'm putting my money down on all the games, MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses, more prop bets than any other sports book, period. And this year, you know this is close to my heart. They're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. All you got to do, pick five NFL games against the spread every week, climb the leaderboard, score your share of the huge cash prize pool. Now, most of you know I am absolutely betting on sports on a daily basis, and I would only recommend a service to my listeners that has been good to me. That's why MyBookie is always the right play. You bet, you win. They pay. MyBookie also has live in-game betting on every single NFL game. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the total number of fantasy points a player will score each game. Right now, MyBookie is offering up to a $1,000 first deposit bonus. This is a big offer. Double your first deposit. Use promo code ANIKFLORIAN to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code Anik Florian when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid. MyBookie. All right. It is now time for the pronunciation of the week. TJ DeSantis going strong. Big win on Christos Yagos a couple weeks ago, moved his record on the year to 6-8. Today he will try to pronounce a name he has tried to pronounce before. The UFC's number 14 ranked welterweight contender fights in the co-main event this weekend. TJ, who am I talking about?
Man, I had no idea. I've already tried this one, so pressure's on. Is it Elizu Dos Santos?
He goes out of his way to push this one.
I mean, what do you want from me? What do you want? Here we go.
Problem.
Eliseu Capoeira dos Santos. Eliseu Capoeira dos Santos.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah, it wasn't close, TJ.
Well, I mean, Anik says Melbourne incorrectly, so what do you want from me?
That's how you say it in Australia, Melbourne.
Well, you also say backyard in Boston, but I'm not going to say backyard. So it's Melbourne. Melbourne.
Well,
it's not Melbourne.
TJ, that's a longer conversation, right? But like Chris Fowler, who has been calling the Australian Open for years, says Melbourne, right? Most of the MMA fans in Australia want to hear me say Melbourne, and our producer Zach Candido lets me say Melbourne. So again, the Aussies, feel free to chime in on social media. If you want me to say Melbourne, like Chris Fowler does on ESPN, God love him. Or if you want me to say Melbourne, as I've been doing for the last several shows down there. But I digress. My six-year-old daughter Tatum could come in here and tell TJ he did not get Eliseu Zaleski dos Santos correct. So 6-9 on the year. I wish Kenflo had a better connection today because he's laughing at that one. I can fucking guarantee it. All right, so TJ's 6-9. Wasn't a great week at UFC 241 for handicappers Florian and Parker. To that end, let us get to the picks. It's the main event challenge.
It's the main event challenge. Anik.
The time is most definitely now.
Florian.
I finished fights! I'm going to do everything possible to win.
The main event challenge. The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
All right, first we will update the standings after UFC 241. Team Anik led it 105-101 going in. Not a banner week for either side necessarily. Team Florian, though, by virtue of an underdog selection on Derek Brunson, wins the week, Ken Flo, 3-2. Now, this is important to point out, and I don't do this for any other reason than to let our listeners know that both teams reserve the right to change their selections during fight. So, as many of you know, these picks are made on Monday, and so much shit happens between Monday and fight night that we allow these guys to text me or text each other to change their picks. And generally speaking, as a sports, I would say you got to stick to your guns. Ken Flo came on these airwaves, picked Nate Diaz, only to text me before the fight that he was changing his pick to Anthony Pettis. So this could have been a different story. You still win the week, Flo. Do you have anything to say?
I'm embarrassed. I should have gone with my first pick. It was a stupid decision, and I would have been up. I would have been up at this point.
Right.
I texted Ian to let him know as well, just so he knows we're not up to any shady shit. And he was like, really? Yeah, okay. All right. Cool, man. And I fucked it up.
Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? We move it along. Lead still belongs to Team Anik. It's 107-104 as we hit UFC Shenzhen. Ian Parker back in the saddle. Good morning, sir. Good afternoon. Not a great day for you overall, but we appreciate you still squeezing us in, man. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. I missed you guys last week. It was a tough card in general, 241 on the betting side for me as well. I like to always brag when I win, but I got to be a man and admit when I lost. And, a couple of bets didn't go my way. And when Ken Flo switched his pick, I was fucking thrilled. because honestly, I kind of wanted to switch to Nate a little bit. And then him and I spoke.
Right.
And we both thought that Pettis looked sharp. And, when Nate came out, it was almost like Tupac came back from the dead for a concert. And I was like, oh, fuck, we're screwed. I'm like, at least we're screwed together, Kenny.
Yeah, 100%.
He made a good call with Derek Brunson, although I'm sure you were scared when Heinrich landed that kick in the beginning of the first round. And sometimes the chips just don't go your way, and that's what happened. So.
Well, we want to be the highlight of your day, but please, can we do no more cigarettes before the Anik and Florian podcast? Like, you smoking cigarettes before the show again, Ian?
Dude, I've never smoked a day in my life.
I know.
I think it's this Florida air. I don't know what's going on. It rains and then sticky. The pollen just ingests yourself in your lungs. I'm dying, but I'm good. I'm here.
All right, well, let's get to it. It's UFC. It's ESPN Plus this weekend. Shenzhen, China. Main card starts at 3 o'clock Kenflo time, 6 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Saturday morning, not Sunday, by the way. Main event, strawweight title fight, of course, Andrade and Zhang Weili. Three main card selections for you today. We will begin with a featured bout, top 15 flyweights here. Good fight. 10th ranked Kai Kata France, minus 260. Mark De La Rosa, plus 200. De La Rosa, number 14 in the world. Ian, big spot for the fly guys, certainly now that this division appears to no longer be hanging by a thread. Who do you like here between Kata France and De La Rosa?
Well, again, I know Kenny and I talk about this a lot. I don't think the odds should necessarily be where they are. Again, I like how you said it. I'm going to go by your pronunciation, Kata France. I do think that did I nail that? I might have done
it
too much.
No, but, you got it.
All right. Awesome. Listen, I learned from the best, man. Here's my thoughts on this fight. I do think De La Rosa is a good fighter. I just think that in this fight, just the size, the athleticism, Kata France is big for the weight class. He just looks like he could physically take the punches. And I just think his pace may be too much. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in De La Rosa to win this fight. I like him at the weight class. I think he's a talented guy. I just think that, you know, it just, I don't like the odds here. What is he at? Minus 220 at the moment, I think it is. I'm going to take Kata France because I do think he's going to win. I think athleticism, I think he's just a more powerful guy. And I think in the scrambles, he'll end up on top. I'm going to go with the favorite in this one. I wish I could take an underdog in that fight, but I just don't see where De La Rosa wins.
Can Flo the hyphen, Kai Kara France. Looks like he can make a real run here, I think, at flyweight. He's won 7 straight overall. He's 2-0 in the UFC. Split decision win over Howley and Paiva back in February. De La Rosa on the other side, 2-2 through his first 4 UFC starts. What do you think about the upside of Kai Kara France, and does he deserve the respect he's getting from Vegas this weekend?
Listen, I think it's a trickier fight than what the odds kind of indicate. I think Kai Kara France is a guy who has shown a lot of potential. I'm still kind of waiting for him to have that kind of breakout performance in the UFC. I think that he should be able to get it done against Mark De La Rosa, who's pretty good everywhere. I think if he has an advantage, potentially he has it on the ground. I just don't see him being dynamic enough to deal with someone like Kai Kara France. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes the distance and if it's relatively close. I still got to go with Kai Kara France here.
All right, co-headliner boys, likely fight of the night in the welterweight division, 14th rank, Eliseo Zaleski dos Santos and the Leech Li Jingliang. They're calling him Easy dos Santos, Ken Flo. I think that's actually the way to do it, right? So you don't have to trot out that Eliseo Zaleski all the time. So Easy dos Santos.
I co-sign I on wish that. I'm going to co-sign.
Yeah, I wish I had the credit. I wish I had the credit for who came up with that. Easy dos Santos, minus 300. Leech comes back, plus 230. Ian Parker, we will need the round and the method of victory here. Who do you like in the co-main?
I'm just going to call him Santos. I don't even want to attempt any of the 7 names that he has.
That's fine.
I really like Santos in this fight. I like him as a fighter. He is someone that I've had my eye on for a little bit. I actually did think he was going to get someone a little higher up in the ranks in this fight, but he just has way more tools to win here. He has shown that his striking, it's fast. He's precise, and he's just, man, he could do it all. And his ground game is really, really sharp. I just think his opponent has been winning everything, you know, on the feed. He's had favorable matchups to have striking wars. And I think in this fight, I just think Santos is just, I'm hoping he's a smarter fighter here. I don't think he needs to brawl. I think if he just does what he usually does, he can come out, you know, fast and hard with his punches, but go for the takedown. Because if he brings this fight to the ground, it's going to end quick. His opponent, however, is very powerful. Those body kicks that he throws are devastating. I'm going to say that Santos is going to win by submission in the second round. I would like to say first. I just think that, you know, he may get tagged a little bit in the exchanges and then realize, you know, hey, stop fucking around, get into the ground. So I'm going to take Santos submission second round.
All right, pretty good analysis there from Ian, but if he had more time to do his research, Kenny would have told him that the reason Eliseo Zaleski dos Santos is taking on this opponent is actually because it was initially booked for November of 2018. And I think they wanted to make it right. So dos Santos had to pull out, Ian, at that time. And then, of course, he did go on to beat Curtis Millender. So you'd think with a number next to his name, why is he not fighting a top 10 guy? I get it. But they're running this one back. Ken Flo, before we get your prediction, over under 10 UFC appearances thus far for the Leech. Do you know how many fights Li Jingliang, you called his debut, I believe. Do you know how many UFC fights he's had?
I'd say over 10.
Isn't that amazing? 8-3.
Yeah.
11 UFC fights, 8-3 for the Leech. Of course, Dos Santos on the other side has won 7 in a row. He is the prohibitive favorite here. Your thoughts on Easy Dos Santos against Li Jingliang?
Well, that's what concerns me about Li Jingliang. First of all, is that durability, his ability to stay active. This is a guy who is extremely tough. He's always going to be in a fight, even when he's hurt. And it scares me, the fact that Dos Santos can get crazy at times. He gets a little wild sometimes, but he can always rely on that jiu-jitsu background to try to take the fight to the ground, where he should have a big advantage against Li Jingliang, although Jingliang has gotten a lot better on the ground, just not so strong off of his back. I think that Dos Santos is the better athlete. He's quicker. He's more powerful. You know, he just has to be careful trading in the pocket. If he mixes it up, stays varied, stays dynamic, mixing things up with his takedowns, I think Easy does it, as the Easy E song says.
The Easy does it is definitely, I'm going to use that. I never think about how I'm going to call a fight finish beforehand, but Easy does it might have to be.
There you go. You can take it.
You got a method of victory. You got a round for me, Ken Flo?
Let's go with decision.
Decision for Easy does it. And here's my analysis on that fight, okay? The Leech is one of my favorite guys on the roster. Smiling and when he's you know, talking about his daughter, a real infectious guy to be around. Eliseo Zaleski dos Santos is a monster. You know, like, I think he's a real problem. And to Ian's point, I look forward to the time when he gets to really test himself against one of those top 10 guys. You know, I think there was a rumor fight with Neil Magny not all that long ago, had a fight with Bilal Muhammad go away at one point in time. But Easy Dos Santos, big favorite in the co-main this weekend. All right, main event. I'm excited about this fight, guys. 102 days after she slammed her way to the belt against Thug Rose, Jessica Andrade putting said belt on the line against Zhang Weili. Andrade the favorite here to retain, minus 165. Zhang plus 140. Ken Flo is going to lead the main event this week. Listeners ask for it. You get it. Ken Flo, I know you're high on both fighters here. Who do you like in the main event? Chen Chin China. And how do they get it done?
Oh, boy. Listen, I think the fact that it's in China has made it even more confusing for me to make the pick. I think any time a fighter goes from North America or South America all the way to Asia, it is not an easy flight to deal with. It is very challenging going there, dealing with the time change and having to perform on their time. I think that is a genuine factor looking at this fight. Not going to be easy for Andrade. However, I think if you're going to have a style to go out there Zhang Weili, I think you want to have a grappling style. You want to be a big takedown artist like an Andrade. And I think Andrade is very powerful. However, she's facing someone in Zhang Weili who is going to be, I think, just as strong. She's going to have a little bit of a height advantage. I think there's no doubt that Zhang Weili is the better striker. I love her sidekick. You know, so many guys believe that the longest range weapon is that jab. It's not. It's your lead leg. And Zhang Weili utilizes that lead leg extremely well with the sidekick. She has excellent spinning attacks. She moves very well. It's going to be a real challenge for her, though, to keep this one on the feet. I think she does have the toughness. I mean, anyone who has like 13 fights or whatever the heck she had in 1 year is got to be extremely tough and durable and a tremendous athlete. It is tempting to go with the excellent Chinese fighter who I do believe will be a champion at some point. I just think it's a little too early to go against Andrade, who has been nothing but consistent in her performances. I'm going to go with Andrade here by decision, but it's going to be a close one.
Oh, I love the love that you're giving Zhang Weili, and you couldn't have analyzed her work much better than that. She's 19-1, 19 straight wins in MMA since
Amazing.
Her pro debut. So, Ian, I know we were texting back and forth about her strength of schedule. I'm not even sure I care about your strength of schedule when you rip off that many in a row. I will give you the record of her last 8 opponents outside the UFC. So 16-13, 3-2, 5-4, 8-1, 12-12, 3-2, 10-3, and then 7-12. So, you know, a lot of 500 or better in there, Ian, but certainly she hasn't fought the strength of schedule that Jessica Andrade has. Getting a real opportunity here from the promotion. What do you think Zhang Weili can do with it? Your thoughts on the main event?
Well, first off, Kenny gave essentially almost a perfect breakdown in favor of Lee. However, I think that the level of competition where he mentioned too much too soon, I think that's the biggest difference maker here. First off, her last fight was what? Tisha Torres by decision, yep. Right? What does that really mean at this point where Tisha is in the division? I'm sorry, but if you look at Andrade's schedule between Rose, Claudia, but you know, everyone in the top 5, top 6, top 7, they present challenges as well. And all of them, except for Claudia, I think were way taller than Jessica Andrade. She's never the tallest fighter, you know, but to me, you know, Lee does present some challenges as she's another very muscular, strong athlete. Her striking is very crisp. That sidekick that Kenny pointed out is a very good weapon. I just don't know if, you know, I think when you're in the UFC, you know, when you hear these people that are 20-1 or, you know, you get the 26-3s, then they come into the UFC or even when they come from other promotions that aren't bad, but the level of competition is just a whole different game. And I don't know if Lee has ever fought an athlete. I mean, people are literally saying that it's unfair that Andrade fights at this weight class. Yeah. Literally, Claudia Gadea has said she should not fight in this weight class. It's not fair. You know, it's crazy to hear that because no one said that about, you know, when Kevin Randleman slammed Fedor on his head or when Rampage was powerbombing guys, but a woman at 115 is slamming people on her head. And that was a whole big thing. And listen, Rose defeated Joanna. No one ever thought Joanna was going to lose. You know, I think that's a huge thing at this level. I'll put it this way. And Kenny, I actually want to ask you a question, if I may. If this fight wasn't in China, does Lee get the title shot?
You know, that's a tough question. Listen, I think because it's in China, there's no doubt they want to promote. The UFC wants to promote mixed martial arts in China. But I do think that Zhang Weili is a legitimate contender in that division. I just think it's a little too early for them.
And that's why I asked, because in my honest belief, I do think that she is a contender. I just don't think it's right now. I think the China push is what's getting her there. It's just kind of hard to, when you look at who Tisha Torres just lost to in Marina Rodriguez, and she got dominated, you know, that's someone who we would never even consider for a title shot next, you know? And we got someone in Lee who, again, the physique kind of matches Andrade a little bit. For me, it's too hard to take an underdog here and someone Andrade who, to your point again, consistent in her style, keeps getting better. Her evolution in her striking is getting better. Her cardio has gotten better, which was probably her biggest weakness. And her strength is just unmatched. Can Lee match that? Maybe. I don't know. Until we really see it, it's kind of hard to say yes or no. But I'm going to go Andrade. You chose decision again for like the 12th week in a row. I don't want to really take what you're taking. But I know why. I understand why you're doing it this time. You're not playing safe. It's kind of hard to see Lee getting finished by slam, you know? And however, I think Andrade is going to take this fight to the ground. I think, man, John, if I pick the same thing as him, is that a complete cop-out right now? Or is that just a good strategy?
Dude, Zhang Weili's never been finished. I would not fault you for wanting to.
I know that's my thing. So all right, so Kenny, I'm sorry, I'm gonna backpack you on this one. I think Andrade is gonna win this fight. Can we do a unanimous decision instead of a split decision?
No,
we're
going with the decision.
All right, so that's where I'm at with that. I get it, and like I said, I give props to Kenny on that breakdown. I think Lee is pretty underrated, and sometimes the competition just doesn't show that.
No, and that's fair. You seemed more convicted, though, in text message format with me on Andrade than you were here today.
No. Listen, if you're ready, I'll put this out there to everyone. I am 1,000% putting a lot of fucking money on Jessica Andrade.
Thank you. I mean, that's the analysis we pay for.
There you go. I don't care if she wins by decision or she slams this chick on her fucking face. All right. I think that she 100% wins the fight. The hardest part for me was how she was going to win the fight. That was kind of where the breakdown is.
But if I'm a gambler,
that's where I'm at.
If I'm a gambler,
I fucking love it that she's at minus 165. She should be minus 285 because Lee beat Tisha Torres and now she gets the title shot. If this was not in China, no fucking way. Andrade, $10,000.
See, and even if I don't agree with some of that, that's, I think, what our listeners want, right? To hear just how convicted you are on that side. Because if I was a gambler listening to this, I didn't know who these fighters were, or I was a casual fan. I guess I don't know that you'd be listening to the Anakin Florian podcast, but God, would we love you for it. But I would hear you and I would be like, yeah, I'm going to go bet this price right now before I lose it. Right. So that's what I'm talking about, Ian Parker. We'll see if we can keep the lead. Thank you for your time, sir. Have a good rest of the week there in Boca Raton or Parkland, Florida.
Wait a second. You pay Ian Parker to be on the show?
We do not pay you.
No, okay. To be on. Okay. No. I was going to say, I got some oceanfront property in Las Vegas if you want to come take a look. But
TJ's right. Like, hey, I'm back owed a couple weeks' pay. Can you guys not pay Ian Parker?
TJ was like, I'm being really nice to Ian today, and then you fucking pay him. I'm going
to
slam his
life
right now.
Oh, man.
All right, Ian, have a good week,
me.
Buddy.
I don't, TJ, you missed me. I don't get paid. We're still friends. It's okay.
All right, that's good.
There we go. Main event challenge is in the can. Before we do Bolt today, want to dedicate this week's show to the memory of Percy Benoit, Daniel Cormier's father, who, as many of you know, passed away last week. DC wrote on social media, if you've ever met Percy, you're better for it. And I can assure you that is the way all of us feel about DC. And we're certainly thinking about our guy after the loss of his dad. All right, that is going to do it for this week. Thank you all for listening. Tell your friends, tell your husband, tell your wife, tell your significant other. Thanks for supporting May Rocky BJJ as well. It's becoming a fucking juggernaut. How about what? Brian Callen, Brendan Schaub, our guy B. Schaub, give a little May Rocky BJJ love out there in the podcast sphere. Is that right?
They did. I hope Brian Callen does bring his kid over to Meraki to start training. We do have a great kids program that is growing every single day, and I appreciate the shout out, boys, and I appreciate the shout out from you too, John Manica.
MeirakiBJJ.com. You can call the school, and don't be afraid. I mean, it's not a crank call or a prank call to call and say, I got a 5-year-old daughter. I want to put her in jujitsu. I listen to the Anakin Florian podcast. I'm an Anakin Florian podcast listener. What can you do for me? And just see what they say and report back.
Exactly. Do it.
All right, we got to go. Thanks to TJ DeSantis for putting it all together. For Ken Flo, I'm John Anik. We love you all. Until next Monday, don't text and drive. You'll
The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast is a TJ DeSantis production. Its content is intended for private use only.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.